Now, what does this word hollow mean, and what does it mean to me, and stuff like that, and what does it mean to God, and all that. So it was a study, and the more I studied it, the more I found. The more I was writing down, I said, I can't write all this stuff down and say all this stuff. We'll be here for a week or two and all, but praise God. That's the way God's word is, isn't it? You can't run it out or anything like that. So, again, most a familiar verse that we're all familiar with. And let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. I have a lot of verses today, so we'll be, you might be listening, and I might give you the scripture, and I might not. Depends how fast I talk. Amen? I'll be like Brother Spence, and I'll be talking, and my mind will be somewhere here, and I'm talking over here. Amen? But again, in Matthew chapter 6, and many of us were familiar with the Lord's Prayer, as many people call it, and it's a model prayer that we can fashion our prayers around, you know, and we remember talking to God. And in Matthew, again, chapter 6, starts out with, in verse 9, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, and that caught my attention, and, you know, how am I treating God in my own life, and all that. And then I went on, if you want to turn quickly over to Leviticus 22, I'm going to try to keep all this short here. Leviticus is sitting here. Leviticus 22, verse 32. And God's word says, Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow ye. Now God sets us apart from the world, but how are we setting God apart in our own life? And that's where I started focusing my attention. How am I really setting God apart in my own life? For that I am in hollow. He's really got my undivided attention. So that's kind of the direction we're going to head and all that. So let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you again for the wonderful day that you've given us. And Lord, thank you for loving us as you do. And we just seek your guidance and direction in our lives. We just pray that you'd be with us tonight as we go through this Bible study. And Lord, in the time of sharing prayers and testimony and everything, Lord, that Lord, we just remember how wonderful you and what you do in our lives. And Lord, just help us to see you fresh and anew today. And Lord, that we just give you the honor and praise and glory and just open our hearts to what you have for us to you about you and this word hollow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, you know, again, I got to thinking about this, what hollow means and what it means to me and everything. And, you know, the main emphasis of being hollow is to be set apart, like we said, and to be sanctified, as we hear a lot in the scriptures, for a special purpose. So what's that special purpose? Well, God is divine, as when we think about seeing him. So he doesn't think like the world does. So we have to set ourselves in a mindset of a spiritual sense that we're in tune with what God wants for us in our lives and where he wants to guide us and stuff like that. So again, we see that, you know, I mean, you're going to hear me say a lot of these other things about the vine, about the word hollow or hallowed, and then it all comes together with holiness and reverence, highly respected, highest authority, dedicated, eternal, wonderful, highly honored, sacred, purity, worthy, worship, glorified. And the list just keeps going and going and on. But you're going to hear, and what I talked to, you'll hear those verses and all that and all that. And when I got to studying all this, you know, hollowed in the Greek, I'm not no Greek, I'm not a Hebrew scholar and all that. But when I looked the words up, they all have the hollowed in the Greek, hollowed in the Hebrew, and then even in the American literature and all, they all have the same basic meaning of being set apart or holiness. You know, so that's what we have to keep in mind when we're thinking about all these words. And I'm sure if we dug real deep into all that, there's probably a lot more meaning. But, you know, as the pastor says, we got to keep it simple. Because I got to keep it simple for me so I can understand it. Amen? Amen, Brother Dan. Right, Bill? All right, I'm checking on you. All right, so holidays used 22 times in 21 verses in the Old Testament, 15 times in 15 verses in the New Testament. So again, we see what it's talking about, setting things apart. So we know in the Old Testament and all that, that they were making objects holy. When they had the temple and stuff like that, and the priest and everything and all that, they had to be set apart from the rest of the tribes and everything that's going on. So again, it's something that's holy or sacred, like the consecration of the priest, like separating the priest and all that, and then the dedication of the temple and all the things that are within it. And then we also see the concept of holiday is frequently applied to places, people, and objects dedicated to God's service, very much like making things holy, and such as the Sabbath day or the tabernacle and its furnishings. So again, reverence and respect is also part, as we said. And again, deep reverence and respect for something, especially for God's name. How do I treat God's name? We're going to go talk a little bit more of that, but that's a subject for another message. And all that. So again, highlighting his sacredness and authority of who God is. Amen. So then, separation from the ordinary. Hollow involves setting something apart from the ordinary or the profane. Something, what profane we're talking about is discrediting God or irreverence and things that are holy to God or things that should be important to us. And all. So again, so we want to make the belongings and to come into the realm of something that's heavenly, something that we know where God, we think of God being in the heavens and all that. And, you know, when you think about how big God is, well, how big is the universe? I tell myself, well, that's how big God is. I don't know how big the universe is, so God's pretty good size if you ask me. Amen? All right. I got an amen out of there. All right. So, again, so the same Hebrew words and all that, as I said, and all, you know, again, are basically talking about setting God aside or letting his name be sanctified from the world, for all the things that we face in our daily basis. Sanctify also implies make holy or treat as holy. We may make it as holy, but are we treating it as holy too? When God sanctifies us, it means that he makes us holy. Amen? And we do that through when we go through our salvation and things like that. And then as we grow and mature in Christ, you know, every day we're getting set apart from the world out there. Enough. So we're getting set apart from the worldly citizens and being different in our thinking and our actions. But when we sanctify God, it means that we set him apart or put him in the forefront of our lives. Is God in the forefront of your life? You know, and we're to treat him as holy, sacred, and righteous. Amen? All right. So the heart of Jesus' teaching about holiday is for us to pray that God would arouse within us, in his people, and his name would be reverenced and honored and treated as holy. That it would be automatic to us. Do I have to think about, well, should I say that or not? We shouldn't, you know, it should be automatic. We should have a new vocabulary. And when we got saved and all that, we should have a new vocabulary. I know when I got saved, I was 38 years old. When I got saved, and I had one of the worst mouths out there, but, you know, God, I mean, it was just like overnight, that was gone. And I had to come up with a new vocabulary. And God helped me through the Holy Spirit to be able to speak more Christ-like and all that. I always told the co-workers when I was around them, I said, it takes more intelligence for me, they say something that doesn't have a curse word in it, than you, and you're saying a curse word that you throw all the time. You know, and it did. It made them think and all that. And so, when we was around, they would make the effort to try to say the right things or, you know, you're not using curse words and all. So again, when we think about it, again, God's name being holy, sanctified, he is set apart, consecrated above everything, and we must be dedicated and devoted to God. Are we doing that? Are we like that? This is what I'm asking myself. Am I that devoted? Am I? Is there something within me that's holding me back and all that? So, as long as we're in this old what? this old flesh, we're going to struggle with things in this world, are we not? So, again, our holiness encompasses moral purity and obedience to a divine source, and that divine source is God. It's not just about being free from sin, but it's about being obedient and zealous about God's purposes for us and developing his character within us. How's that character being developed in you? Is it working? Do you see a difference? Well, what is your hopes? Well, what is the world seeing? What's the world seeing? Are they seeing it? That's what we want to project, is that holiness. So, since God is holy, we must be holy. God's word says, "For I am holy, your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify, hallow yourselves," meaning be set apart from the world, "and ye shall be holy, and I am holy." So also the apostle Peter writes, "But he which hath called you holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." What's the conversation we're talking about? All your mannerisms, the way your speech is, everything about you. Amen? "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And again, there are many more verses that encourages us about the holiness of God and everything. And I could have wrote a whole lot more there. So it's again, all right. We are to separate, set apart from sin and live a moral and pure life. So the Holy Spirit helps us to conform to scriptural principles and truths. Amen? So in essence, the scripture presents God's holiness as a resourceful, unchallenging cup to us to develop our Christ-likeness, meaning our traits and our character. Amen? And that includes being separate. Being separate from what? The world. What else? The world was the answer. But, you know, we need to be separate, you know, that our focus is totally on God. You know, are we tempted every day? Yes, we're tempted all the time and all that. Anybody lose their temper? Whoa. Okay, we better move on that one. So go. God is very distinct and separate from the creation, but he created us to be like him. You know, and then when Adam and Eve sinned, again, what happened? We got a sinful nature, which caused us to be at enmity with God. Amen? So again, God is pure and just. Are we to be pure and just? You know, God is inherently wholesome and without any imperfections. He can never go against his own nature and is to be feared. Do you ever go against your own nature? What's that nature? Is that separateness that we're talking about here? Do we fear God? Well, God won't see it. I'm going to go ahead and do it. Right? There's no other Christians around here, so I can get by with this. Amen? But it doesn't work that way. That's what the thought process we may have and all that. Again, that's very simple, but again, we're going to talk about fearing God here in a minute. So, then moral perfection and sacredness. God is the ultimate standard of righteousness and goodness. His character is the foundation for all the moral principles we go by. Where do we find that? Right here. And if you've been in this church the last couple of months, you know that we better be reading this. This has really been emphasized a lot to us in the last couple of months about reading God's word, letting it be a part of our lives. And you know, looking up some of these words and stuff like that, like we've talked about. So again, to further comprehend God's holiness, is crucial for us to comprehend the understanding of his character, his relationship with us and mankind, and the path to a personal relationship. God deserves our ultimate attention, our respect, and proper use of his name. So we're going to look at some scriptures here again. And we're going to talk about to see what this hallowedness and hallowed is. And again, these words all have the same basic meanings of being separated, being holy. being focused totally on God and all that. So again, we're to hallow or sanctify or treat as holy in the relationship to God and His holiness. So let's go to Numbers 12. Or Numbers 20, excuse me, Numbers 20, 12. Now this is this is Moses. He took the folks out of Egypt, you know, and they're out there in the desert, and, you know, and they murmured and, you know, gave them a hard time all along the way and stuff like that. And they were thirsty. So what did God tell Moses? Just go to a rock, speak to the rock, and tell water to come forth, right? Well, he was irritated with the people because they kept bugging him all the time. You ain't doing your right. You know what's going on here. Where are you leading? Let's go back to Egypt. So what did he do? He let frustration enter in. And instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. And as soon as he hit the rock, God said, uh-oh. Somebody didn't follow what I was doing, what I asked him to do. And if you go to verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify the eyes of the children, therefore you should not bring this congregation into the land that I have given thee. Those had to be some really stinging words for him when he, you know, man, all that he's done so far, and just because he lost his temper. Anybody here again? We talked about it already, losing your temper. I remember a while back, we was at a birthday party. A young man claimed to be a Christian. I was just kind of minding my own business and all that. I was eating some of the cake and stuff, you know, and stuff like that. And this guy, supposed to be a Christian, started talking about, you know, how much he drank, how much he did this, how much he did that. And the more that I wasn't even paying attention, but all of a sudden, I started, that started coming out of me. And man, I lambasted him. Was I right doing that? Maybe if I would have done it in a more gentle way. But I told him, what you're saying is wrong. You know, and you know, and I guess the only thing that I could back it up was because I've been where you've been. I've seen what alcohol did to me. I saw what smoking does. I saw what a foul mouth did. But you're claiming to be what I am, and I don't see it. But is it right for me to judge somebody? No. That is not right. I was totally out of character, just like Moses. But, you know, but I should have had a persuasive way to say, hey, you know, let me tell you about myself and what I went through. Use my testimony instead of just letting it get under my skin and all like what Moses went through. Again, the water comes out, and the stinging words of God was, you can't go to the promised land. So, again, notice that the words, ye believed me not to sanctify, mean or hallow me. These words give us the first answer to the question of what it means to sanctify or hallow the name of God. It means to believe God without any reservation. Now, how can you believe God without any reservations when something's getting under your skin? What am I doing wrong? Why am I letting things bother me like that? You know, and that's where we have to rely on what the Holy Spirit, He's going to lead you. Don't jump. What's the old saying? Take three steps back, take a few deep breaths, and then that will give the Holy Spirit, you give you time to speak as you should, as you want. Again, is that hard to do? It is, because we still have to deal with the flesh. So the first way to treat God as holy is to trust what He says. Do you trust Him 101%? Amen? We have to trust him. Instead of a peaceful confidence, the power of God to respond in mere words, Moses was bitter and impulsive, as we talked about, and his emotions distracted him. God is not hallowed when we do not have a spirit to settle with confidence and peace in him and his word. How much at peace are we within ourselves with God's word? And how are you going to get that way? How are you going to gain that peace? By knowing what's in here. Reading it, studying it, listening to the preaching of your word, through songs and all different ways. There's ways for us to gain what God wants us out of here. Now, to have the spirit, to have a spirit settled with confidence and peace in God means to find a deep and unwavering assurance in one's relationship with God. How's your relationship? Is it wavering? Well, I don't sin. I don't do this. Do we really? Anyone here thinks we don't sin? So would that cause us to maybe to waver a little bit? Amen. Trust in his power and his provision, even amongst the life's uncertainties. It's about letting go of the reliance on self. Amen. And placing complete trust in God's plan and his ability to guide, protect, and fulfill his purposes. He has purposes for us. He has a direction for our lives and all that. And if we clutter our lives with the things of the world, how are we going to know what those purposes are? We may get started, then all of a sudden, you know, I have a better idea, God, and we're off on a tangent. And we get off that way, and then God's got to get us back. You know, I was telling him, you know, we were talking about in the nursing homes, you know, God has a plan for us, you know, and if I go my way, you know, I might go over here and, you know, lead 5,000 people to the Lord. But if I did it over here God's way, I might have done 500,000 people. You know, and that's what we have to keep in mind, you know, that our way, even though we might think it's the right way, it's not. So again, he's to be set apart from the world as so we can hallow God's name and his presence in our lives. So when we think about that's page 2. I only got 8 more pages to go. All right. There are 10 pages up here, but Jesus said, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. So that's 1 John 5:10. So when you make somebody a liar, what are you telling them? Well, you're telling them, you're kind of following yourself. You're doing what you want. You're not doing what God wants us to do. What do you, you know, when the kids do something, what do you, I didn't do that, Mom. Yes, you did. You know, and they're saying you're a liar. We're telling untruths, false truths. We're trying to put the blame somewhere else. And so we have to be careful with that. You know, again, you know, what we're doing is we're going to discredit ourselves, and especially God, when we're not telling the truth or going the direction or doing those things that he wants us to do. The opposite of treating a person holy is is trusting God, letting him put the words on it. Not trusting God is the exact opposite of hallowing God. We're doing something different, wrong. We're going the wrong direction. So again, we want to make sure that our hearts and the people believe without question. Do we believe God? Do we trust him 100% and wholly? Again, we see that. In Isaiah 8, 12, and 13, and 1 Peter 14 and 15, I won't go there. I won't read the scriptures. Well, I will. I won't. And all that. But it's talking about a confederacy. So, there's one of them words again. That's in. And it's Isaiah 12, 30. Say ye not a confederacy. All to them this people and shall say, a confederacy, neither fear ye the Lord, or be not afraid. Sanctify, or hallow, the Lord of hosts himself, and let him go. let your fear and let him be your dread. And then Peter's saying the same thing, but he's talking about the Christians. You're hearing false teachings. They're leading you astray. Isaiah is talking about that there's some negative people out there trying to get the nation of Israel to go the wrong direction and all that. So how do we hallow God in this? And these are hallow. God is not fearing what men can do to us. That's, I think, a lot of fear people. What can men do to, or what we can do to us, but we must fear God and what he can do. That's something to ask. Do I fear more men, or do I fear more what God can do against me? Essentially, this means that when God commands us to take a stand for him in a hostile situation, we must fear displeasing God, or dread, as the verse says in Isaiah, more than you fear the hostility of men. So we shouldn't fear losing our house or our family or anything like that, because God provides. Look what Job went through. God doubled his portion and everything. So he will compensate. But when we set ourselves to oppose his will, no one can compensate for those consequences that we may. You know, and what if we say no, God will give those blessings to someone else. I know. So when we pray, hallowed be the name, we're saying, Father, let your name be feared. That we fear you more than anything else. Or more fully, Father, cause these people to have such a high view of you that it is much more dreadful thing to lose your approval than to lose anything that they would offer. What would you rather have? Disobedience and unfaithfulness, again, bring judgment from God for non-believers and believers alike. So again, we need to fear God. We need to fear him, you know, for not doing what he says that we should be doing versus what fearing men and all. Amen? All right. So, again, now in the third one is in Leviticus, what were those? Leviticus 22, 31, and 33 again. Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall ye profane my name or discredit my name, but I have hallowed among the children of Israel. I've set them apart for me. I am the Lord and will hallow you and set you apart individually for me. Though that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Again, profaning names, how many times do you hear OMG? Is that honoring God? Chances are it's not. And how many times you hear people, something happened to them, and you hear they say Jesus. Well, Jesus really didn't have nothing to do. They're not respecting God and all those things. And they're oh my gosh. Oh, that don't sound bad. But what's that gosh stand for? Is that referring to God? It could be that you're referring to God. Again, all those little things that we can say, we have to be real careful with how we say things. We don't want to profane the name of God, you know. And so, again, when we see that, it's just not the bad language that we use, but it's how we are we representing God in our conversations. When we're happy, we're praising God. But when we're down and out and going through a trial, what are we talking about? Are we still praising God? It's hard to praise God in a trial, but thank God that he's there with us during that trial. Amen? And he's helping us and doing all those things. So again, you know, the third commandment prohibits us using the name carelessly, falsely, or for trivial purposes. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name. So again, following the Ten Commandments, those are just base. Those are the basic things that we need to start our obedience to God. And most of us in here follow the Ten Commandments, you know, probably 95% of the time, I hope, me included there, and all that. But again, you know, we have to watch what our speech is. are our lives contradicting our actions that dishonor God through his name? Replacing God with something else, leading to idolatry and sin. Hypocrisy. Am I walking my talk? The impact waywardness of our thoughts on things that come out of our mouth has an effect on others. You just never know. Somebody may overhear you say something. Say you're talking about the Lord and how good he was. You know, that person, man, I want what they got. You know, they get saved. Then over here, you might be against trying to fit in. And they know you're a Christian, but you're starting to talk like the rest of them. I thought you was a Christian. You know, if that's what it's all about, whew, I don't want that. I already got that. I don't understand. So again, we have to be careful and make sure that we're walking our talk and our wayward ways. And then the importance of one holiness. The Bible emphasizes the importance of God's holiness and calls believers to live in a way that reflects his character. Amen? This means that striving for purity, righteousness, and obedience to his word and our service to him. By living a holy life, believers can honor God's name and point them to others. So again, we want to reflect Christ. There's a lot of stuff that I left, you know, that we can talk about here. But again, what's coming out of here? Where are these going? And what are these doing? You know, and that's what we want other people to see, you know, that we're honoring God in his holiness. And then, boy, that's a big clock. You can't miss that. You can't. I wonder who put that up there. So, the gist of it all, profaning God's holy name means failing to recognize his unique holy character, his power, and his authority. There's nothing on this earth like God. It involves actions and attitudes that contradicts and discredits God's holy name and diminishes his authority. So hollow the name of God when we keep his commandments in prison and profane it when we're not. So again, when we say hallowed be thy name, we mean Father, invoke in your people or me to obey your commandments. Meaning I or we will obey your commandments to the utmost. And then the last verse is Leviticus 10, 1 through 3. Again, we'll kind of keep this short. So verse 3 is saying that God is showing himself holy and him glorified are virtually the same thing. So when we pray, hallowed be thy name, mean glorify his name. We want to glorify his name and all that. And again, in what he is talking about there in verses 10 through 3, there are certain things that they can do when they go into the temple and stuff. And the priests do all that, and they're to get those censers, and they do the smoke and all that. But they're supposed to do it according to the scriptures. Well, Aaron's two sons didn't do that. And when they did, they disobeyed God. And the judgment was for them was God took them out. God killed them. And all that. And so and then Moses said unto Aaron, this is the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified, that I will be set apart in or among them that come near me, and before all the people I'm glorious. So everything we do, when we're following God and doing exactly what, we're not only sanctifying and giving him praise and honor, but we're glorifying him. And that's what about, is that when people see something in us different, you know, why? What's different? Why do you got that smile on your face, you know, when things are down or, you know, why are you rushing to church on Sunday morning? Why are you reading your Bible? Why don't you come fishing with me today? And say, no, I got things to do. I got to read my Bible. I got some studying to do. Those are things, you know, that when people see that within us, you know, we're glorifying God. And you just never know what that seed that we're planting right there that will help others and all that. So again, when we say hallowed be, you know, Lord, your name is hallowed. Lord, cause your name to be hallowed. This is the cause of your word to be believed in your hearts and your people. Your displeasure is to be feared in each of their hearts and cause your commandments to be obeyed to the fullest in their daily actions and living, and cause yourself to be glorified. So again, when we see this, you know, hallowing God's name is a fundamental thing. It's a basic thing that we should be doing. You know, these are things that we, you know, but you know, we get into the busyness of life, and then you need to sit down. Am I really setting him apart? Does he really have my undivided attention? You know, we might be good at quoting verses and we can give some testimonies and stuff like that, but how true is that to your heart? And that's what God was telling me. How true am I to your heart? Yeah, are you really doing all that you can? You know, I use the excuse, well, we're getting older, we can't do this, we can't do that. And that's true. We limited what we can do. We were just talking about old man grunts back there in the corner and stuff like that earlier and all that. And I'm sure many of you can relate to that. But you know what? I read a story the other day. It was one of my devotionals about a piano player. It was World War I. He went to war. He was a famous guy too. He went to war and he lost his arm. And then he got captured in a Russian prison, and I guess he got some kind of a piece of wood or something, and he made a keyboard on it. And he learned how to play the keyboard with one arm. And then when he got home, his mother had been talking to one of his teachers from before, can you write a concerto for somebody that just has a left arm? He says, I don't know if I can do it, but I'm going to give it a good shot. Well, he did. And that man went around the world with one arm playing the piano concerto. So God can do things when we trust him, when we hallow him, when we set him apart. Now, when we glorify him, when we weep when we do things wrong. When was the last time you've really wept when you've done something wrong against God? That's tough. That's tough. We just take it for granted. Well, I've done wrong, you know. You know, God says, if I come to him and I pray, he'll forgive me. He will. He'll do all that. But was you really, truly repenting? You know, where were the tears? Where was the brokenness within your side, inside you, saying, man, I just broke God's heart for something I wanted to do that I didn't need to. So that's, again, you know, we need to make that conscious effort within ourselves of walking with God, following him. And just remember, we know who he is, but how important is he? And most of us say, well, he's 100% important. Is he really? You know, and those are just things you have, you know, that when we have to consider yourselves and stuff like that. So, again, when we think about the word hollow, we can think about majesty, reverence, sanctify, supreme authority, holiness, worship, devotion, all those things that we talked about, reverencing God. That's what it's about, is our relationship with him. You know, where are we at, and where does God want us to be? You know, and you know, if we continue just to sit back, you know, and let others do, what's God going to do? What he might do to get our attention? Anybody ever read the book of Isaiah? Anybody ever read the book of Jeremiah? See what God does when you disobey, what he did to that nation. But see what God does too in those same books when you obeyed God, how he blessed them. So again, when we think of, you know, how close are we? How is it hallowness? Where is God? How much have you set him apart to be a part of your life, or to set them apart and be away from your life. So that's what we have to ask ourselves. Again, so the last thing I have, you know, all that we've talked about, do you hallow God's name? Do you hallow God as a person? How much do you think about that? Or are you just too busy with everything day's life? And that's what it's important. You know, what's out there, we have to be a part of it, right? But we don't want it to control us. We want God to lead us out there so we can be that light out there for others to seek. See how much we've set apart God and how important He is in our lives. Let's pray.